a fat toddler with a permanently dirty face. Joy eats dirt. Joy waddles about. Joy does not ask to be picked up and held. Joy never wears clothes. Joy draws blood. Joie, ma compagnie, mais elle ne recherche pas. Joie, s'asseoir seul sur un banc de parc. Une fois, Joie mordu la tête d'une pigeon. Souvent, Joie rit et pleure en même temps. Joie ne sait pas ce qu'est la mort. Joie habite les déserts mais aime regarder le ciel sans nuages, la nuit, la vague de poissons, les mouvements d'un rideau de mer. Joie vit une rivière mais pas l'océan. Joie mange un fish and chips trouvé dans une poubelle. Joy made best friends with a snail and then sat on it. Each morning Joy laughs as she brushes her teeth for the very first time. Joy cannot see what is on the kitchen table. Joy crawls under gorse bushes. Once the pelican tried to fit Joy in its beak and carry her back to the nest, Joy laughed at the adventure and then smacked the heads of the baby birds together. People are frightened of Joy. Joy sticks dice from the gambling table up her nose. Joy hangs off the tail of an elephant. De jus et les mettre dans son nez. Les gens ont peur de Joie. Joy has seen a river but not the ocean. Joy avoids deserts but likes to look at cloudless night skies, shoals of fish and the movement of beaded curtains.
Welcome to Soniclet, a spoken web radio show. Today, we are live in studio with the band Pigs and Wolves, which you just heard the first track, Joy. And we'll be talking with Pigs and Wolves, or rather, Rachel McCrum and JF Gross.
Pigs.
Are they the pigs or are they the wolves? They have made themselves heard. And I'm here as well. My name is Catherine McLeod, and I'm here live in studio with co-host
Jason Camelot.
And here on Sonic Lit, we've been listening to a lot of albums produced by Montreal poets. You may remember in a few shows back, we listened to an album by the band Fire. We also listened way back to some archival recordings like Montreal poets back from the early 20th century. So everything from old Montreal albums to new Montreal albums. And this one is brand new. It's
brand new. So new. So fresh.
Still brand new. Yes, yes. Not yet heard. It's a really exciting album. It caught our attention because we were thinking of it as a poetry album, but the more that we talked to the band, we realized Pigs and Wolves are a band, and we thought it would be really interesting to talk to them about that, because we've been playing a lot of a lot of poetry, and what does it mean when poetry becomes a band, or poets join forces with musicians, and musicians who in fact have worked for a long, long time with poets. So we're going to hear all about that today on our show, along with tracks from the Pigs and Wolves album. So we're going to introduce our special guests here, Rachel McCrum and JF Gross.
Hello,
Rachel. Hello, JF.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here live in studio at CJLO. On Sonic Lit, this is our first time having guests live in the studio as well. So we're excited to talk to you, but also we're excited to have guests.
We're very excited to be here.
Yeah.
We should say this is only half the band. We have to keep reiterating this is not all of Pigs and Wolves, or the others will get cross.
That's right. There are two other band members. In fact, do you guys want to introduce the other band members?
Sure. There's Nadim Aimant on the guitar and Jonathan Lamy on drums.
Yes.
And one of those is also a poet, but are both?
He is, but we don't let him do any poetry with the band at all. Maybe in a couple of years he can. No. Just no drums and poetry. No poetry.
Only the drums, not the poetry. But maybe who knows? But knowing there's poets playing drums in this band too. So thank you for introducing the rest of the band. Would you two like to just start off by telling us a bit about how did Pigs and Wolves come to be Pigs and Wolves?
I'm going to pass this over to GF. Yes. It's his story.
Yeah, all right. So, I'd been playing with Nadim and our former drummer, Hervé. Big shout out to Hervé. For years, we started off in like 2010, just like a basement apartment band, having fun. And we started to do interdisciplinary stuff with, friends who are into the arts. My partner, Catherine Poulin, is a poet herself. And we played around with sort of music and poetry at that point. We did La Nuit de la Poésie in 2016. And then we formed a band called Fracas les Saints with Catherine. Which was sort of that first contact, like real, effort to record something solid, marrying music and poetry. And then we do La Ruelle Verte de la Ruelle d'Orléans every year. And Catherine, she would have poets as guests, as sort of part of the festivities we'd do. And that's where we met Rachel for the first time. She was reading at one of the events.
Do you remember what poem she was reading?
She read, what came to be Functioning, which I thought was very good.
One of the tracks.
This is the first time I've heard this story actually out loud from his mouth, by the way. So this is exciting to me.
Yeah, there you go. That struck a chord with me personally. There's been sort of, I guess I'd still be playing with Fracas les Saints if, me and Catherine hadn't had any children, which makes things a bit more difficult. Damn kids. So after the pandemic, coming out of this stupor, let's say, and I reached out to Rachel. I wanted to do something in English as a recorded thing, and also something with a bit more edge. You know, not that. Yes, there you go. You, Rachel.
Mm-hmm. A bit more edge.
Yes, yes, yes.
As this is radio and nobody can see the face that I'm making, yeah. I'm making a face that goes, ooh, edgy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, very raw, if you prefer. Yeah, and that sort of came about where, you know, I reached out to Rachel. We'd done a few shows together, actually, like Epic Voices, I believe.
Epic Batal.
Epic Batal. Cool?
Well, no, it was Epic Voices. The bilingual poetry show that I've co-hosted two of those with Catherine Comier-Larose.
Oh, right.
And I was wondering if that was, you weren't playing at one of the ones that we co-hosted, but I'd been at some of the earlier ones, and I was thinking that your band was there.
Yeah, performing. With Fekale Sa, we played there. With and as a number per se, and as the house band, quote unquote.
Yeah. Right. That was and that was always such a. I feel like that was one of the most memorable. Well, aside from it being a bilingual reading, which was indeed a very memorable thing, but having a band improvising with the poets was really incredible to hear and to experience. So that was certainly something that stayed with me, and it felt rare too. It was like I know that you know. It's maybe not, you know, for someone who does it a lot, maybe it's not so rare, but it felt very rare and special to see in that experience. But back to Epic Voices, you'd crossed paths with Rachel at that, or...
well, she co-hosted with Catherine.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to say something which is going to sound awful about these things, but I think it's indicative of, you know, bands and musicians playing on stage with poets, because there is a thing with you know, musicians coming in to improvise with poets, and as you say, it's rare to have a full band and a band that plays together as well. As you were technically Diva Cop at that point, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
So that, but you know, it's still quite a fleeting encounter in a lot of ways.
Right.
You're on stage for, you know, you haven't met the band before. It's, you, as a poet performing, it's usually improvised. They've never heard us before.
No.
We don't know what they're going to do. And so there's this moment of sort of like, okay, what are you going to do? Okay, I'm going to keep eye contact with you, and then I'm just going to try and read. And so it's this really fleeting contact. And we have met.
Mm-hmm.
But actually... Like it's not an intense connection on stage at that time. It's very much like it kind of comes and goes in the moment, right?
And it's not always.
It's
good
a
either.
Really polite way of me trying to say yes, we'd met, but it was a fleeting acquaintance.
I think I was at one of these. I think did you do a show or so? There was another band that had played also. Like we did a show. It was in La Vitrola, I think. And Puggy Hammer had played, right? But we were just playing songs or something. But what I noticed at the show, there was a house band accompanying the performers if they wanted, you know. And
sounds a lot like us. Yeah.
pretty much all of the, and it was a bilingual show, right? And pretty much all of the Francophone poets were like all over it, right into it, like quite comfortable doing it. And then the Anglophone poets like were interested, but hadn't done it as much or ever before. Yeah, and it was like there was a difference in terms of just the approach or the level of comfort.
Or Catherine pulling some strings behind this.
Maybe it is more of a thing on the Francophone milieu too, because there is, like, Jonathan's played drums before behind poets as well at various stuff. You know, I've done shows out in Sherbrooke and Trois-Rivières, not that show at Trois-Rivières. There's, JF can tell you about that one. And so it was much more of a present thing to have musicians on the stage, and I'm just trying to think of that side now with sort of Anglophone and
although
and,
with Ian's like words of music, that was common, you know, for a stretch but having like a house band who would just play with anyone who stepped up to read
with
was less common.
Anyone.
Yeah, they just play with anyone.
They're ready. They're dying. They're prepared.
Well, prepared is a stretch. It's not always good. That's the thing. Some of it is hit or miss, and there are misses.
What makes it good? Like, for as the musician side of it, what makes it good?
From a musician, you want to have, like, you don't want to get into your head too much. Like, you just play. Like, I make mistakes all the time, and it's just like, just don't get hung up on them and just do whatever. Like, it'll sound all right if there's a drum. you know, keeping the beat, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
So going back to that reading that you heard Rachel reading the poem Functioning, and you were like, like maybe this is the poet that I want to work with. That we'd love to play that track, and wondering if if you have a few words to sort of set that up for listeners, this track Functioning from the record.
I can say it in terms of the poem.
Yeah, which yeah. Tell us a bit about
it. It was a pandemic, as JF says. You know, we were all holed up, and I think at one point I'd thrown out sort of, you know, a thing to friends, sort of going, look, I really need some prompts. I'm really stuck at the minute. Send me over a word and I'll try and do like a daily practice. So it was very much like part of a set of poems that I was doing, not quite daily, but trying to do regularly with whatever people threw at me. And so the title is due to a friend in Edinburgh who's Portuguese called Margarita Jorge. Shout out to Margarita. Eternal Muse. And she kind of, as a joke, because this was like pandemic doldrums, sent over High Functioning as a thing, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna show you. And so the poem came out of that, and I nearly didn't think that much about it. It was kind of a practice poem, right? And then I started to see from a voice point of view how it could get interesting and get through some of the annoyance that we were all feeling at that point. And then, you know, the boys picked it up and it turned into something else and something much, much bigger. And I think it was the first one we kind of properly worked on in the studio. Like, so I'd got this message from GF in 2021, and I think we managed to get into the studio then with Hervé at that time on drums. So it's Nadim, Jeff and Hervé in 2022.
Yeah, something
went down. And I think that, and it was very much a look, let's see if this works. And that was kind of the first
one we started. Yeah, that was the first number, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's listen to Functioning. We're here live in studio with JF Gross and Rachel McCrum from Pigs and Wolves, and this is Functioning.
I do my job.
Festival Bleu Bleu, presented by SiriusXM, is back for its 7th edition. From June 20th to 23rd, Carlton-sur-Mer will come alive with performances by Ariane Roy, Petit Béliveau, Clopel Gag, High Classified, Uri, Gus Engelhorn, Belly, Maggie Merlin, and many more. Don't miss the epic Beach Electro Night, the Artisan Market, the classic Mussels and Fries Dinner, the Water Skipping Tournament, and plenty other fun activities. Contact your friends and plan your Gaspésie getaway. Tickets and details at festivalbleubleu.com.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight right here on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Hey, I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour from the dark side of the moon. An hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, Tuesday nights at midnight on 1690 AM, CJLO.
CJLO. All right, we're back. This is Sonic Lit. I'm Jason Camlett. I'm here with Catherine McLeod and the Pigs from the Pigs and Wolves. That's how they self-identify. We just heard Functioning from Pigs and Wolves' latest record, The Unfortunate Waggle. And wow, what a track. So we're going to talk about that song with them a little bit more before we listen to some more of their pieces from that record. But before that, I had the opportunity to speak on the phone to the sound engineer where this record was recorded. This is a Montreal-made record. It was recorded at Sudwest Recording Studios in Montreal. And the engineer and mixer was James Healy. And so it's a pleasure to be able to share a couple clips. Now, I should say that the band has not heard these clips, so they're sort of blushing and cringing, which makes me think that maybe their behavior at the session was, you know, special. So they're a bit worried about what the engineer is going to say about them. But I'm going to play first a clip just where it's a bit of an extended clip where James talks about the process of recording this record because it's quite a unique process. And then He unsolicited went into a kind of interpretation of the meaning of that tune that we just listened to, Functioning. And so for our pleasure and for the pleasure of Pigs and Wolves, we're going to play that clip as well. But this is James Healy, the sound engineer, talking about what recording this record was like. I just want to get the volume up on this because we recorded this on Zoom. Here we go.
I'm James Healy. I worked on the Pigs and Wolves record. I was the engineer and I mixed it.
Where was that record recorded?
It was all done at Sudwest Recording Service in Villemard.
Can you tell us a little bit about the session? I mean, was it a typical session? How'd you approach it?
Well, they wanted to do, I think it was like 5 or 6 songs in one whole day. So that's often quite a bit to get done in a day. So I just was like, you know what? If you guys are tight, let's just do it all live off the floor. So yeah, and there was literally a monitor for vocals blasting into the room. You make sure it sounds good in the room, make sure like the feeling's right, and they can just like sort of get into it, you know, and then you get a really good performance and you just, you know, hit the red button.
So how did you set up the room?
So something interesting to do, and you can take a cue from like how classical music is recorded a lot. And also I take a cue from like, let's say people like producers like Peter Moore, who did the Trinity session, is like setting up your room, how you want everything to be placed in the stereo field. So, you know, so bass is going to be more on the left and guitar is going to be more on the right, let's say. Then you literally put them in the room more to the left and to the right. And then you can use the bleed in the multi-mic situation as a bit of a reverb. You can use it to your advantage. So that's sort of what I do. And you can really get a really accurate image of the room. And that's why it sounds pretty like raw, organic, authentic, I guess are words you can use, because it's really the sound of the space that's like baked into everything. And yeah, the bass was kind of blasting into the room, and I used ribbon mics on the drums. And you know, normally I think for like, you know, quote unquote heavy band, you'd want to use like condensers up top, but I was like, screw it, let's use ribbons and get, it's almost like more of like it, you throw a curveball into it because you get more of like this jazzy, delicate sound of the drums. And it's like, it's a contrast, you know? So to me, it makes it sound stylistically more interesting and dynamic. It like removes it just from another, just another like heavy band recording, all done like technically accurately and everything isolated, you know? Mm-hmm. It kind of gives it, it gives it some culture, you know?
So James gave you some culture.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hang on, I want to use that line. What was it? Screw it, let's choose ribbons. I think that's the title of the next EP. I love it. James, we're taking it. Yep. That's beautiful.
Screw it, let's use ribbons. But it sounded like a really intense session. Like, it's true, 6 tracks in one day, that's a lot. Probably, I imagine, did a few takes of each tune. Like, maybe, you know, or unless...
Well, the takes sort of actually tapered off, like, the first... track that we recorded was like, you know, maybe 7, 10 takes, 12 takes maybe. And then by the end it was like, oh, well, look, it's supper time, so let's go, you know? And that happened to be functioning at the end there, so.
But also, I mean, it was a lot to do in a day, but we rehearsed quite a lot. I sort of say that hesitantly. It's like we do, even if it doesn't sound like we do, but you know, we do. So, you know, we'd sort of been meeting weekly, you know, for 2 hours a week, like, and so we'd usually run the set most weeks. So we knew what we had to do when we went in. We knew we had to be pretty focused. We knew what order we were going to do them in, because functioning is strenuous, and even on the voice, like, you leave it to the end, you know what I mean? Otherwise everything else is just, so we were quite prepared to go in and spend a day, and I'm gonna say, like, it was self-financed, you know, we couldn't afford to go in and take like a week in a recording studio. We're like, we can afford a day, you know, this is what we can do.
And it's not as though, like James said, which is funny, he's like, oh, well, like, oh, it doesn't have to be technically perfect. Well, that's true on both sides of the equation here. So it's like, all right, you know, like, I don't mind having a few mistakes here and there. It's little Easter eggs for the listeners if you're really paying attention.
Yeah. Well, do the mistakes annoy you every time you listen to it?
No.
Sure.
It's organic, right? Oh, it's cultured.
It's raw.
Well, I think you got an amazing sound for the record, actually. And I was especially kind of aghast when he told me that there was a monitor, you know, that you, so you could hear yourself, which makes sense, obviously. I mean, you could have just done through direct headphones or whatever, but there was a monitor in the room, and he talks, I have another clip later that if we have time, where he talks about how he was using the monitor to create reverb, essentially, and playing with it where it would be in the space in order to get your sound. But I just want to play one more clip from James. This is a short one, but he, as we were talking, he was really taken with functioning. I guess it was the last track that you recorded, right? And it blew his mind. And he came out of the booth.
I feel like maybe if we'd started with that, like, I'm sorry, James, we didn't think of it like that. It's like, okay, these guys are doing this. Like, whoa, right at the end of the day, what was that?
But, yeah. Yeah, I know. But he said you guys were super tight, and that's why you were able to do it, you know. But also that fatigue sets in after a while, and so it made sense, you know, that you only did fewer takes of that one. But he had a whole full-blown interpretation of the meaning of it. And so in case you didn't know, this is what functioning is about.
She was very expressive with her body and stuff, a little Tom Yorkie, but she, I did notice that her feet remained planted in the same, so this in is the you same spot, but man, was it just about insane. Like when she was singing that song, functioning, oh man, like she was just like going for it. It was really, really cool. That song is like, I show people that song actually a lot because I'm like, dude, this is crazy.
I've never been compared to Tom before. I'm gonna take that one.
Yeah. Oh, I think I must have cut out his entire interpretation. He was just talking about your performance of it. I'm sorry. I'll send it to you, but I'll give you the gist of it now. Well, all I'll say is it had a lot to do with Tron. So it was basically So essentially, he thought it was this entire, you know, sort of reboot and reinterpretation of Tron subjectivity and stuff. So
wait, no, like Tron, like the Jeff Bridges film.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So do you know moving what, on. Do you know what I will say? Okay, I'm going to give you two things with that. One is. The feet thing is funny, although that might not be in the clip, because I'm a terrible dancer, and so I don't really dance with my feet. I dance with the rest of my body, but my feet never move. So nobody's ever actually called me out on that before, but it's very true. But the other thing is, a very long time ago, I took a coding course, like computer coding, and it was awful. It was like a weekend. I think it was a month of weekends, and I couldn't get any of my functions to function. And so there is a bit at the end where I'm talking about functions not functioning, which is a slight play on me not being able to get. I can't remember what the script was. So if that's maybe
the part that James latched onto,
that's what he latched onto
and really ran with.
Wow!
Yeah.
Did you know that was in there?
He was paying attention.
He was paying attention.
I just remember his look when he came out of the booth, like, what? Guys, that was really good, but you peaked a lot. A lot of yellow in the...
I was going to say peaked and peaked.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should move ahead and listen to a couple more tracks, right? Yeah. Sure. What are we going to hear next? We're going to hear Tongue?
Sure. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think.
And Underwear of Iron. Maybe we'll go... We might have a break in between. We'll see. We never really know. But anything to say about Tongue before we give it a listen?
I really like... Ding.
Oh, I got
go on.
This.
Are you going to say? Oh, right. Okay. Where you
Tongue
go?
Is a shout out to Nadim's creativity.
I was going to say it's a Nadim shout out.
Yes.
Where
yes.
you go?
So Tongue is the response or the calm after functioning is like, oh, you know, it's like loud stuff. And he's like, oh, he was just like noodling around on his guitar. And he's like, oh, this sounds nice and appeasing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. No, I was,
Let's
yeah,
do it.
It is. And it's a lovely, like, it's Nadim's moment and that beautiful riff that comes in at the start and then continues through and sort of gathers the rest of the stuff as it goes. Yeah, fair. We were on the same page.
Yeah, look at that.
Bodily fluids, your secretions. Meet me at the tip of the tongue. Oh, meet me at the tip of the tongue. My favorites are sour and salty. One may survive without a tongue, the unfortunate waggle. Stunted, straining chicken rooted always to the nest. Jealous sister of the breath. When I die, when I die, when I die, let it be on the tongue of the blue. On the elephant tonnage of it, be palpated tidily against baleen ridges of the soundless, musculous palace till I'm broken, shattered, a lost thing swallowed at last.
At Cinema Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry, or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6-ticket movie cards for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from Jean Talon Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. The Cinema Public for a lively cinema.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Hey, I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of music from the dark side of the moon, an hour of Pink Floyd. It's Floydian Slip every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more at FloydianSlip.com.
Hi, this is Sal, straight from Brazil, and you are CJLO.
And we're back. We're here live at Sonic Lit, a spoken word radio show with the band Pigs and Wolves. We're here with Rachel McCrum and JF Gross. The Pigs of Pigs and Wolves, or so we're calling them. We've been having a lot of fun listening to this record together this afternoon. I think, like, well, what one of the things that Jason and I have been doing on Sonic Lit is really talking about how we're listening to what, you know, what we're listening to together on the radio show. And I just have to say, it's been really fun listening with you, Rachel and JF, and also really seeing and hearing your reactions to the tracks. It's been a lot of fun to be in studio with you. They've been sort of performing alongside the tracks that we've been listening to, and in fact are doing it again as I speak. which is no, totally, we love it. So we'll have to have more guests on Sonic Lit. I think we'll definitely do more of this. We've been listening to their album called The Unfortunate Waggle, and we just heard the track Tongues. And we want to tell you a little bit about the album itself and some upcoming shows that they're doing. So Rachel and JF, tell us a bit about this object that I'm holding, the album, and its artwork. How, you know, what's the story of the art here on this and this album?
So the artwork was done by Nadim's dad, who is, you know, he's been a graphic designer, I guess, professionally for years. So he's really good with Photoshop. He's got his own style.
He's a visual artist as well. And I think he just retired, so he had some time.
Yeah, exactly.
And, which was good because...
You know, he cost us maybe a bottle of whiskey, which is also pretty decent.
Yeah.
And we weren't necessarily looking to go for like a CD or any sort of like physical copy of the music, but something highlighting the text. So we made sort of this booklet, and Francois just went, you know, wild with his style, which is, you know, a lot of like cut and paste, like sort of a, I guess an interesting mix between digital media and actual physical media, which is sort of where, like, you know, as a cheap example, like cut out letters from the newspaper and then have them stuck on a drawing that he's made and then have it, you know, with a digital background of some kind.
You have an aesthetic, like the black and yellow.
Black and yellow, yes.
I'm wearing one of the pins as well, or buttons, actually, magnets.
Magnets.
Yes. Jason and I realized we could wear them as pins as well, so we got them on. But the black and yellow.
Why did we end up with black and yellow?
Yeah, because I was thinking.
Very appealing.
Well, okay. But the other thing about this is, so I was at the first show that you did, and even at that point, it felt like you had an aesthetic, and I'm trying to remember, like, if you had costumes, or was that the second show?
No, we did from the
yeah, because the yellow was there.
I don't know why we settled on yellow and black. We liked that.
Yes, that's a no. Well,
Is it a no-brainer? I don't know. Anyway, so everything is now yellow and black. There was the mustard. Anyway.
Well, as these
things evolved, there was a mustard thing at one point.
Well, because we're technically playing mustard jazz.
I thought we were egg punk.
Oh, well, you know.
Anyway, there's a yellow and black thing. So this had got settled in, and then we knew we were doing this show. And, you know, we'd been rehearsing for a fair bit at this point. So we're like, right, you know, we really need to make this make a visual impact. And so I bought a lot of yellow dye. Mm-hmm. And then GF brought me a load of white vests, which were clean. You did.
Yeah, you did.
Sure. I don't know why you'd... They were clean. I washed them again. And then, so I dyed them all on my balcony. And so, and then we wore those. But it's evolved now. So we now have full boiler suits. So every time you come to a show, it's getting more extreme.
I want to take a shot at describing the really beautiful artwork in this booklet. So all the lyrics are in here. And I describe it as gestural, actually, and painterly at times, right?
Yeah.
So it's like really, because the way Jeff was describing it made it sound more like clip art or something, like, you know, but there's also a lot of actual drawing that's integrated into this that, gives a sense of a kind of movement, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. I think the movement of it, and I mean, it was as GF says, like, it was, we kind of gave he'd heard us play. I think he'd come to the first gig, right? He'd come to the first one, so we'd heard that, and then we sent him the tracks, and then we kind of said, just, you know, come back with some stuff and we'll see where that goes. So we, you know, we trusted him with the aesthetic of it, and there is that movement. It's sort of jaggedy and unexpected as well. We didn't want to dictate it. We're like, see where your brain goes with this. And then he brought it back, and then God love him, there was so much back and forth. Just what about if you tweak this? And we're not really sure how this relates to this exactly. And there was a great deal of patience exercise done on Francois. Francois. But, you know, and the other thing to say that, you know, we wanted to play as well with the fact that it's music and it's poetry. So it was somewhere between a chapbook or a zine, really. And also, you know, it has the dimensions of a CD case. So we wanted it to try and evoke both of those things if people picked it up.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking with the live performance too, how just thinking of like the different ways that your band would be heard at different types of events, like say performing, you know, as a musical act at a literary festival versus like, you know, playing with two other bands and as a concert, and even then the way that this is merch, but this is also something that could be on a book table. It can go in between. And I guess thinking along those lines, where can people hear you this summer?
Am I going for the shows? Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
the
I'm going for these. Yeah. Okay, so we're playing on the 19th of July in Ripon in Gatineau, and we're playing in Montreal on the 24th of July in Le Petit Ours on Avenue de Bac with our friends Macro Silix, and a different other third band in both locations. So that's very much in the style of, I mean, Macro Silex are great. We played with them at Turbo House before. They're a trio. They're noisy. They're punky. So yeah, it's definitely more in sort of the music side. We haven't really been invited to do the literary festival side of things yet. That's going to be an interesting
Now play. That you're on a literary radio show, who knows?
The first show we did, Pink Noise and Poetry.
That's true. Yeah, that was so our very true. First show that's was true. More because we yeah. had Iwana Vitasikoi, Cloud Circuit, and oh my God, I've totally forgotten her name. And I've got her face in front of me and Catherine's looking at me in horror. I'm going to come back to you.
That's okay. We'll come back to that. But you're right that the first show was literary, but that was also something that was sort of organized yourselves rather than been invited to perform at something. So the track that we're going to hear that might be our last because we are going to be running out of time, but is called Underwear of Iron, and it's on Pigs and Wolves album The Unfortunate Waggle. Let's listen.
On a street with chewing gum welded to pavements and rubbish bins and dogs and dust. On a street with chewing gum welded to pavements and rubbish bins and dogs and dust and wire fences and raindrops. On a street with chewing gum welded to pavements and rubbish bins and dogs and dust and wire fences and raindrops and man, like any street. On a street with chewing gum welded to pavements and rubbish bins and dogs and dust and wire fences and raindrops and man, like any street. As scars on a street with chewing gum welded to pavements and rubbish bins and dogs and dust and wire fences and raindrops and men, like any street, as scars or a pair of breasts. On a street with chewing gum welded to pavements and rubbish bins and dogs and dust and wire fences and raindrops and men, like any street, a skirt or a pair of breasts, or let's say a crate of oranges was slowly making its way. Wearing a scold's bridle made of iron and a witch's collar made of iron with the metal spikes facing both out and in and a chastity belt made of iron and a steel-boned corset reined in tight, a suit of rigid homespun armor that clanked and drew attention and held protection and rebuke in each hand. Like the severed fiberglass breasts of a shop window mannequin or a sliced forehead or a broken jawbone. What can't get out also can't let anything in. What can't get out also can't let anything in. What can't get out also can't let anything in. Crate of oranges kept walking in its steel hide, kept walking, kept walking, kept walking.
And we're back with Sonic Lit. We're here live with JF Gross and Rachel McCrum. Rachel, while we were listening to that,
I remembered.
You remembered.
I remembered. It's Marley Croft. It's the amazing Marley Croft was the fourth act in our debut show, Pink Noise and Poetry in La Sotte.
Amazing. And yeah, so Pigs and Wolves were making those sounds. James Healy, as we said before, was the one who recorded it. And I just wanted to play one more clip for the band because I asked James in the interview I did with him, did anything like interesting happen during the session? Something, you know, those are some pretty amazing creative people. Something memorable must have happened. This is what James had to say.
Well, I just remember because I live out in Wakefield. And there's like a ton of like crazy trees out here that like I always have to manage or find people to manage. And the bass player, he's awesome. And he's an arborist. So between takes, I would walk into the live room and ask him for advice on like trees and stuff. And then he was like, you know, like he'd be like, but man, like be careful. Like he's like, you know, like don't do that on your own. Like hire someone for that. And like, you know, he's like always... Yeah, he's a good guy, and
that's good. He could have saved your life then. So that's been a very meaningful session for you.
He saved my life. Yeah, yeah, totally.
So there you go.
Wow,
Pigs and Wolves saved the engineer's life.
There you go. Thanks. No problem. My pleasure.
So yeah, we're gonna play the show out with the last. Oh my God, with the last track on this album. Breast Snout. Interesting title. Anything to say about it?
Yeah, the full title was actually Breast Snout of the Earth Pig, which is what happens if you translate, apparently, according to a Swedish friend, badger nipple into Swedish and directly back out again.
Oop.
Amazing.
I didn't know that. That's great.
Well, let's hear that.
Look, the job is to be a bitch. To be the bitch. Squatting in the midden heap, laced with vinegar and spilt milk gone sour. Crystal ball long cracked and rolled under the piss pot.